This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
WGR Sports Radio 550 presents.
This is the biggest disaster of a show open, and I love it.
Sports Talk Saturday.
Like, you wanted to have your discussion about, like, the sports movies thing and High School Musical being a de facto sports movie.
Yes, I did catch
which wind. Then drew the ire of Evan on Saturday last week.
Yeah, it had me making shots from the foot of the stage on an actual net. And after each shot was, he shoots, he scores. If I missed, the whole thing is derailed.
You are either Steph Curry or this whole thing is ruined.
Yeah.
On WGR.
I have personal. Evan, yeah. Do you take anything back?
No.
It's okay. He's dying on the hill. It's fine.
Sports Radio 550.
Good morning. Happy weekend. Derek Kramer, Joe Kelly here with you on another Sports Talk Saturday as we are soaring and flying into the weekend. March Madness, Bills off season, Sabres scored on themselves last we saw them. There's a lot to do, there's a lot to talk about, and there's a lot to get into and have fun with here today on WGR. We'll be right into it in just a few moments as Ryan Talbot will join us in a couple moments here as well. Joe?
Yes, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. Yes, it's a morning where I don't wake up and see a highlight of the Sabres scoring on themselves, so it's good.
It's good, and also, I mean, we've been doing a couple shows throughout the week, filling on the nightcap for Zach Jones. The two of us were hanging out over the last couple days on Wednesday and Thursday, so, you know, we're just going to keep getting into a groove here.
Yeah, absolutely. I just want to make one comment. I don't want to die too hard on the hill. With
okay.
The Sabres, but I just have one thing to say about that game.
I'm worried. Joseph. He's got the soundboard back today, I see.
I do have the soundboard back, and yes,
son of a bitch.
There's nothing I can do that better fits how I feel about that than that.
Oh, no.
So that's how we're kicking it off today.
All right.
Listen, brackets for me, I know we're gonna talk with Ryan in a few minutes here. But brackets for me are alive. I don't know about you.
Oh,
where
yes.
Are you at?
I mean, I'm doing all right. I had a couple of my upset picks falter on me yesterday, but you know, that is what it is. And you know what, though? Today, though, once we hit noon, I'm going to be sweating bullets. because my ill-advised champion pick, Purdue, takes on McNeese at 12-10.
So, yes, I have Purdue advancing over McNeese.
Yes,
so.
I'm going to feel a little nervous about that, but you know, at 12-10, I'm going to be boiling up, so let's see what we got. But what else we got, though, is plenty to talk about here with the Bills offseason, and to do that, we bring in an old friend that we haven't talked to in a little while, and Ryan Talbot with New York Upstate, co-host with the Shout Podcast with Matt Parrino, joining us now on the West Her Hotline. Ryan, it's Derek, it's Joe, it's a Saturday morning. How you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Of course, and happy to have you. Good to hear from you again, Ryan. How you feeling? You enjoying all this college ball on the televisions?
I am. I've been watching quite a bit of the games, and I have Duke winning it all this year. They made a statement, but there's a lot of teams that, especially the one seeds, that have come out, and they've looked the part here in the first round.
Yeah, there were no, outside of like a small scare in the first half, I do believe, with, I think it was South Alabama against, I think it was Auburn. There was a little bit of a scare heading into the end of the first half, but outside of that, there was no real nightmare scenario for many of those one seeds.
No, not at all. And Florida looked great yesterday, and a lot of really talented teams that could win it all.
But hey, a lot of talented teams that could win it all. And we say that every year about a certain team here, Ryan, if I can transition any clunkier than that. The Bills are one of those teams, though, that legitimately has a shot every year. However, there's one team that constantly keeps slamming the door in their face, and I'm getting sick of the door pattern that is on my face. But they've had themselves a busy offseason. They've had to do a little bit of cap gymnastics. And now, though, you're looking at heading into the draft, it does seem like, for the most part, free agency, the moves that they've made are the moves that they've made. They still got to clear up a little bit of money for their rookie class, it looks like. But then you look at the starting roster, you look at the depth chart as it currently is heading into the draft, and it does look like they still have a little bit of work to do.
Yeah, 100% still have work to do. The one tech position stands out like a sore thumb. You want to address the defensive line just in general as much as possible. Cornerback two is still on that list. And while I really did like the addition of Joshua Palmer, I still think wide receiver is another area you want to address in this year's draft.
Ryan, when it comes down to it right now, as we're heading about a month away from the draft, a little bit more than that, what do you think the biggest need is if you needed to prioritize one position over the rest right now?
I guess I would go with cornerback just because the Bills historically under Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean have never really had that big space eater at the one tech. It's a great draft class for that. It's a deep draft class for defensive tackle in general. I would love a Kenneth Grant or a Tyleek Williams in round one or round two, for Williams' case, potentially early in round two. But right now, cornerback is the biggest issue, in my opinion. You know, you have Christian Benford on one side entering the final year of his contract. You'd like to believe that there will be an extension done, but the price of the cornerbacks just keeps going up, so that's going to be quite a bit of money they're going to have to invest in Benford. But then opposite that, you know, they have not re-signed Rasul Douglas. Douglas still sits out there in free agency. Dane Jackson was brought in. I look at Dane Jackson as just more of a depth, like a first guy off the bench. If there's an injury, that's fine. Really don't want him coming in this year and being in the running for cornerback too. But names are running out in free agency in terms of potential upgrades there. But if you look at the draft class, Trey Amos, Maxwell Hairston, there are some guys the Bills could target with one of their first picks of those top three that they have in the first 64 picks.
Ryan, when it comes down to it, with the draft, everyone's got their guys. What are some of Ryan Talbot's draft guys, so that everyone knows a couple more names to put some chips down on here? So to say.
Yeah, I guess my number one guy would be Jalen Royals, wide receiver, huge fan of his game. I think the Bills can get him on day two of this draft class, maybe with their second round pick. There's a lot of different talented receivers in terms of what you're looking for. So if he did fall into day three, wouldn't shock me. The Bills obviously do not have a third round pick right now, but they could put some of their picks together, move up, move down with some of the round two picks. And make that work. But Royals is definitely my guy that I would love to see the Bills add at receiver. huge on Kenneth Grant. I think Kenneth Grant, though, is a, you know, my guy for a lot of people. And then a local kid, obviously, Sean Dolak, I think out of UB, really showed a lot of people wrong with the way that he tested at UB's pro day. A real shame that he didn't get to any kind of, you know, showcase game after his college season ended. I understood the rationale of the Senior Bowl. He just didn't grade out high enough for them. But there's so many other bowls that missed an opportunity to get a player that I think can play in this league for a long time.
I will say the Sean Dolak thing, selfishly as a Bills fan, I feel like that could work in their favor because of the fact that the Bills would be one of those teams that gets a free visit with him because of the local, with how the rules work there. It wouldn't count toward their 30 pre-draft visits. But considering how well he tested on his pro day, now instead of, hey, maybe we can snag him in the sixth round or the seventh round, if the Bills want Dolak, they would actually probably have to look at the fifth round now because of how well he tested.
Yeah, I think that's a fair viewpoint. I mean, there is a point where people thought this kid could have been a UDFA, and I never thought that. I thought day three pick late, but after he tested so well, there's going to be a team that takes a flyer on him in round five, despite the size that they might have some questions about. The kid can just simply play.
Ryan Talbot joining us here on the West Her Hotline. When it comes down to, for me, how deep this defensive tackle class is. Last year, this station, we had the wide receiver train. It may have gotten bigger than it needed to be, but, you know, we had it. This year, a little bit quieter in terms of it, but it's also because I want that one tech. I'm here to say the meat wagon is one of the cars that we attached to the train this year, Ryan. And just how deep is this class at the defensive interior?
So it's extremely deep. I think it's a little bit deeper at the three tech than the one tech, which that's fairly common in my opinion. But there's still a lot of talent to be had in those first three rounds at the one tech position. You know, we've already talked about Grant. Grant didn't necessarily even come close to reaching his ceiling at Michigan. I think that the athleticism jumps off the page when you watch him play. I think that his best football is yet to come. That will happen in the NFL. And then Tyleek Williams out of Ohio State, I think he's maybe a safer bet, a safer play at that one tech. And the Bills would be thrilled to have a player of that caliber, especially with, you know, DaQuan Jones getting older and needing a space eater there, someone that can really come in and be a day one contributor. But I would say after round three, it does thin out a little bit. You can still find a few players maybe early on day three, but that's going to be the bread and butter those first 2 days of the draft.
And one more here on the draft for a moment, Ryan. More or less being, for me, one of the my guys that I've got here is Nick Emmanuori. I think that he is a guy that can even flirt with being a late first-round pick here. I love his athletic score, and I think that the Bills could really use that center fielder type at safety, especially because they did bring back Damar Hamlin, and it looks like it's most of the same depth chart there with Cole Bishop, Taylor Rapp, and Damar Hamlin, but none of them screams a center fielder to me. And between Emmanuori and Xavier, blanking on the name there, Xavier Watts from Notre Dame,
yeah.
I feel like those are guys that would really be able to help out the back end and give Sean McDermott another one of those Micah Hyde types back there.
I would be perfectly fine with that. It feels like the Bills in, you know, past years have just never considered a safety. And I know that a lot of it had to do with the Micah Hyde, Jordan Poyer tandem in their heyday when they were in their prime. But you've seen, you know, a Brian Branch that they could have had a few years ago and the way that he impacts the Lions defense. So if you can go out and get an impact player at safety, I'm right there with you, because as much as they like Cole Bishop taking him in round two last year, there's still a lot of questions to be answered in terms of his game in the NFL. He had an injury that set him back a little bit, had some highs and lows for this team. Taylor Rapp, the injury concerns. Always seems to get dinged up with that physical style. And Damar Hamlin, no issues with Damar Hamlin being a depth role type of player or even in the mix for one of those spots, but that is not a difference maker, like you said. And if at the end of round one, there's a safety that has a much higher grade for Buffalo than any of the D-techs, any of the cornerbacks, I certainly think it would make a lot of sense for them to go that route, because you do need a center fielder that can make it an impact for you.
Ryan, expectation this year for the Bills. Last year was so unexpected with where they ended up. Even dropping that game to New England at the end of the season, no one really counts that as a loss. It is on the record, of course. But where do they stack up, do you think, in the AFC this season? Do the Bengals kind of come back into the picture? Is it more competitive? The AFC East is even looking more competitive. Where do you foresee them? In the same spot, better, or maybe a little, you know, little closer to the normal record prediction for them?
See, I think they're going to be just around the same spot that they were last year, believe it or not. I look at this AFC East, and you're right, the Patriots are getting a lot better. I think they are my pick to be second in the AFC East this year. I look at the Jets, they still have a lot of question marks. The Dolphins, we know how they end up usually late in the season. They got off to a slow start this year, Tua and the injury concerns. And then the AFC as a whole, it's going to be very interesting this year. You mentioned the Bengals. I still think the Bengals are going to have a lot of issues on the defensive side of the ball. Investing all that money in the wide receivers, you know, great players. I understand why you don't want to lose a T. Higgins and why you have to pay Ja'Marr Chase that type of money. But the offense was clicking pretty well last year, and we saw them go to 9-8, miss the playoffs altogether. So I'm not sure that they're necessarily going to be a contender at the top of the AFC this year, especially in the same division as the Ravens, who I expect to be excellent year in, year out. For whatever reason, the Steelers are always in that mix in that division too. And then the AFC West is going to be very competitive this year as well. So as much luck as the Chiefs had late in games last season, I don't necessarily see them being able to replicate that when you look at how well the Denver Broncos played down the stretch last year, and they should only get better. The Chargers should only get better. Even the Raiders, who I expect to be last in that division, are going to be more competitive with a competent coaching staff and some of the talent that they've brought in. So I could see the Bills being right in the mix for that number one seed in the AFC when all is said and done, because I still feel like they're rolling with quite a bit of the talent that they had last year. You had a Joshua Palmer at wide receiver who isn't blazing fast, but he creates separation with his route running and really does fit that mold of everyone eats. So I do really like where they're at on both sides of the ball. Just add a few difference makers on defense in this draft, and then, you know, let's get to September.
Ryan, when it comes down to with how free agency has gone, it was a little bit of a lackluster showing. A lot of trade targets that could have been people that you eye for the Bills either end up re-signing or they just straight up get released and then they go and get a nice contract somewhere else. What do you think, though, about how free agency has gone this year overall?
Yeah, it's been interesting. There have been some players where I thought the Bills were definitely going to bring someone back, and then they didn't. Mac Hollins obviously comes to mind. The prioritizing a Ty Johnson made a ton of sense to me, the way that he stepped up. It became a lot more than just a third down back. And now they've added some pieces in. In terms of some of the guys that they let test the market, Amari Cooper still sitting out there, and they're, you know, those anonymous articles that you see on ESPN Insider, someone saying that they think he's done in terms of his game. It looked like that at times last season. Didn't make nearly the impact that you thought you could potentially make with the Bills. I already mentioned at cornerback that they let some talent go, and Rasul Douglas is still sitting out there. So the Bills seem to have a good, you know, feel for when it's time to move on from certain players versus bringing them back and letting them stick around too long.
Of course, Ryan, last one while I've got you here, being that more or less, what was the most interesting move overall, I think, of this offseason for you across the entire league? I would say anything about like, oh, where do you think Aaron Rodgers is going to go? Well, it looks like the league has made its decision on where he's going to go. Whether he wants to play in Pittsburgh is another thing. But what's the most interesting move that you've seen all throughout the offseason?
Oh, that's a great question. Off the top of my head, I don't know if I have one move that'd be more interesting than anything else. You know, I've seen the Patriots throwing a lot of money at players, and that's kind of common. Probably not the most interesting, but I love the way that the Eagles keep reinvesting in their defensive line. Olajari, who's flashed at times early in his career, coming in there on a pretty friendly deal. You saw how that paid off for the team in the Super Bowl with the way that they had so much talent across the starters and the depth there. So I'd probably go with something along those lines. I just love the way that they build up that roster year in, year out. Always going to be competitive. in what's now going to be a slightly more competitive division with the Washington Commanders there.
Ryan, I hope you enjoy yourself a fantastic weekend. And once again, plug it away in case people are hanging out under a rock. Let them know where to find your work.
Yeah, sure. You can find me on all of the social media sites at Ryan Talbot Bills. You can find my articles at Syracuse.com and NYUp.com. And you can find the Shout Buffalo Football Podcast on your favorite podcast platform.
Ryan, I appreciate you taking the time with us this morning, especially just to start off the show, kicking it right off with us. And thanks for joining us. We'll talk soon.
Sounds great, guys. Thank you.
I appreciate that. That's Ryan Talbot of New York Upstate on the West Her Hotline as the Bills offseason rolls on here. And we're getting back into draft mode there. I like Ryan's guys there, especially with the fact that like he points out a wide receiver in day two in Jalen Royals that out of Utah State. A couple of years ago, he had a really productive season, 15 touchdowns. So if you can get a little bit of that profile back, he didn't play the full season last year. Maybe you get something out of him, hoping that, you know, the injury is a little bit of a one-off, and you get back to the production that he had a couple years ago in college at Utah State. So I'm starting to get to the my guys thing here, Joe, and starting to branch out of where those guys are in those first 2 days.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I'm pretty much starting to as well. I'm not the biggest draft guy until a couple weeks out, and I'm definitely there. It's exciting to be at this point in the year, and it's exciting also, just have to point out, the draft used to be such a stressful time, especially leading up to when Josh Allen was drafted, right? Mm-hmm. And even when Tre'Davious White was drafted the year before. You just think about it, the pressure that was on the Bills to draft the quarterback, right? The right guy, the franchise guy, and how everyone thought it wasn't the right move picking Josh Allen. Not everybody, but a good chunk of the population around here. They wanted Josh Rosen. And it's nice. The pressure's not off, but once you get that guy, I feel like the rest of the team kind of builds around it. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, and furthermore to that, the reason for that is because the Bills didn't have a quarterback. That's
yeah.
why it was stressful. That's why the draft was like this, oh my God, thing. Not
well,
that
even Tyrod Taylor was like, oh, we're doing another year with him. There we go. You know, like, oh, we're running with Tyrod this season.
Yeah.
And you made it to the playoffs, and it's like, oh, look at that.
And then they chose not to move on with him.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's because they didn't have a quarterback. And it's not like you overlooked the draft, though, because
this is
how you make a roster is through the draft, especially now that Allen's on a big boy contract.
These young guys are what's able to build your team back up because
yeah.
you can't put everyone on a big contract.
And
so.
Furthermore, for me, I think that this is going to be the most impactful draft class that they have in a long time. Mostly because if you don't hit, expect this team to actually taper off a little bit in Josh Allen's prime. And you need to restock a young core for this second window of sorts of Allen being here. Make sure the windows are staying open. And you had one core, they didn't get it done. This new core, there's some more pieces that need to add to it before we can call it a new core. So get yourself a star player, maybe two. I'm feeling greedy. And overall, I'd say get yourself six or seven solid players that can contribute within this season. That's going to be something that you need to do. Six or seven might be a bit much. But like, if you can get three or four guys that can make an immediate or quick impact for you, and you turn 10 picks into 7 or 8 picks, for example, if you make a trade up or anything like that, that's where the big deal is going to be here. And it's funny how Ryan mentions that Kenneth Grant is someone that's becoming an everyone's guy. Which, at this point, yeah, I think Zach started it with me. And then it's just being every time I'm asking anyone, hey, who do you like in the draft? Kenneth Grant is one of the names that people love to point out.
He's my top name for pick 30.
Which means everyone get ready to have your hearts broken. He's probably going like 17 or some nonsense like that. So, yeah, I'm now bracing for that, and that's why like the list has to grow a little bit. I'm branching out on the my guys and to see what's happening there. And Joe, you mentioned how like you don't really get into it until like the final few weeks. You know how we help out with that though?
Oh, I think so.
Oh, you better know so. Next hour, we'll hit up a mock draft simulator before we talk to Trevor Hauer. So,
yeah, there we go. We got the call about it this week, so yes. We had the answer. Yes. The bet signal went up.
The people ask, and I shall deliver. Next hour, we'll hit up a mock draft simulator just to get a little bit of an exercise in there and see what we've got going forward. But until then, we'll take a break, come back. March Madness has been fun. It's been popping, and I think that we can have a nice little segment about that here heading into the second part of this first hour here, Sports Talk Saturday. Derek Kramer, Joe Calley, we're back with you in a flash here on WGR.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at Omicid.com. That's Almased.com.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Saves the ball with the leap. Knocked out of bounds. Deflected by me. And off to the side.
That was great defense.
I was saving you,
though, by R.J. Davis. That's what you need to do. Make them take tough shots. Don't foul them.
Now watch. Oh, let's see if it watch.
Oh, great.
It was going
deflection.
Right for you. Did you see that?
Put it on the list. Deflection.
It was going for your hand.
Falling.
Anytime you hear Kevin Harlan doing play-by-play, you can tell that the man is just having himself a time.
Yeah, he might be one of my favorite voices to listen to with play-by-play stuff.
Absolutely. Like, especially like the games that we carry some of the games that he'll do on Westwood One during the NFL season. And like the one where like the streaker's out there in San Fran. The guy is drunk, but there he goes. Someone stop this man. Or the cat, that is a touchdown. He's always on it. And play-by-play is a lot. And a lot of people don't understand that. Like, play-by-play is a very difficult task. You have more papers and monitors in front of you than you think you do or than you think that someone needs. It's not just you look at the field and you have everything is encyclopedia style in your brain. Everything's got to be in front of you. You've got a spotter, you've got your color guy, and he's got a bunch of papers everywhere. It's not an easy task.
Mm-hmm.
And for him to have the enthusiasm that he does every broadcast is something. And like just the deflected by me, like the I'm calling both games.
Yeah.
Like the man puts up legendary stuff all the time, and I mean, I get it. Jim Nantz is Jim Nantz, but I feel like he should be CBS's number one.
Well, Jim Nantz isn't doing he's not doing March Madness anymore.
No, I know. I'm just talking about like with football.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I feel like Kevin Harlan should be always the number one here.
He's always on those games where they're not great, if he is. You know what I'm saying? So I love Jim Nantz. Hello, friends. Like, don't get me wrong. But I kind of agree with you there. He's always got that – Kevin Harlan's always got that enthusiasm that is – it just shows. Or you just feel it through his voice because you're listening to him a lot on the Westwood One broadcasts.
Jim Nantz has the
– run out on the field. Some goofball in a hat and a red
– Yep, some goofball in a hat. Yeah, like
– Yeah.
I think Jim Nantz has the charm, like the hello friends, you know, like the welcoming aura to him. And Kevin Harlan has the passion with everything that he says. Even the little stuff, some goofball in a hat. Like there's energy there, no matter what, from him. So love hearing him more on these games throughout the tournament. And Joe, when it comes down to the tournament, this year, there've been some upsets, nothing flipping a bracket on its head, though, let alone like an entire country's worth of brackets. The lowest seeds to win were McNeese and Colorado State, 12 seeds. So that would mean that the highest seeds to fall were a pair of 5 seeds, Memphis and Clemson. But other than that, it has been a lot of the status quo. Like your 7-10s and your 6-11s are going to draw a little bit more blood than usual. And this year, only 1 7 seed won. It was St. Mary's.
Yeah.
But
yeah, it's been definitely interesting.
A lot of it is higher seeds, though. And as a matter of fact, I do believe what region? Yeah, in the East region, there's only one upset. And I put that in heavy quotes because it was 9 seed Baylor over 8 seed Mississippi State. Otherwise, the East went 1 through 9 with 9 replacing 8.
Interesting. Yeah, we've been watching the past couple days, it has just been
the favorites. Seeds. The favorites have typically been winning. At night, it does seem that things have gotten a little froggy.
Yeah, that's when things flip.
That's when things are flipping, like Drake over Missouri, for example, Colorado State against Memphis, Arkansas against Kansas on Thursday night. Like, that's when things have gotten a little froggy. New Mexico against Marquette. Like, that's where things have gotten interesting. The 7-10 was really a death trap for most 7 seeds this year.
Yeah, and normally it's like a 5-12, but... I mean, it was Clemson.
Yeah.
That was the Clemson game. But the Michigan game went as planned, I guess, if you could say it that way.
Yes.
You know? So, for my sake, yes, because they are my winner in most brackets I'm in. So, the dream's still alive, you could say.
But, yeah, there were no there was none of the 4-13 trip up. All 4 seeds go unbeaten.
It kind of... Is it disappointing to you?
A little bit, mostly like, because...
I'm kind of disappointed because I like watching that stuff.
I didn't get my bracket buster right away in that first round, that heavy drama. But there have been some big moments. McNeese getting their first tournament win in history. Drake upending Missouri. That was a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
So there have been a couple of these moments already. But that said... What, outside of Drake, McNeese, and Creighton, most of these are programs and schools that people would recognize. Colorado State, too. Sorry. Like, Colorado State, not known for its basketball prowess, beats 5-seed Memphis. So, outside of 3 teams or 4 teams here, you're not really looking at much surprise in this first round. This is the round, I think, the round of 32, where things can go awry for a lot of people.
Yes.
And I'm hoping that there is a lot more of that drama. And hell, that drama can be turned right against me immediately. Because
because you showed me your bracket the other day, and you're a Boilermaker diehard.
Yes,
so,
and that has to do with my friend Sammy. He went to Purdue. I've been out there. It's a great place.
And the minute
that
I
went out there. Yeah, you have the custom hockey jersey, too. You got to do it.
But the minute I went out there, I became a Purdue man for life. And you could tell that's not like this. Like, there's no bandwagon for the Purdue Boilermakers. Let me tell you that.
No.
As a matter of fact, as a matter of fact, Purdue has as many wins in the tournament than they did throughout the entire football season.
Exactly.
So there's no bandwagon. There never was. And last year, they make it to the final. They lose. But there was also one of the few times that Purdue has made a deep run. So, hey, maybe they're going to be more consistent these days. Or not. Yeah. They might lose to McNeese right away here. And then there goes my bracket.
They could, and then your bracket's done for. I mean, I'm looking at my bracket right now with my high school buddies, and I have all but three picks. And the one I picked VCU instead of BYU,
mm-hmm.
which I just, you know, I went through. I didn't know who was going to win that game. Like, that's one I'm not the biggest college basketball ingester, if you will, during the regular season. When it comes to this, that's when I start paying a little bit of attention. And then I had Yale over Texas A&M. I had the 13-4, like we were just talking about.
Right.
And then I had UNC beating Miss, but I that did not happen.
They made that very fascinating, though. They were down double digits, even with a couple minutes left in that game, and they throttled their way back to make it a game. And it was kind of a stunning thing. We're like, oh, okay, so I remember watching that one. I'm like, don't do this to me, Ole Miss. Don't do this, because I picked the Rebels, and I'm like, don't do this. But, again, everything about college basketball to me, it is about the passion. And, yes, a lot of the higher seeds have won. A lot of the expectation has been as expected based on seeding. That doesn't mean that it's not a quality product that you're not watching out there. Have there been disappointments? Absolutely. I would have liked to see a little bit of fight from a team like Liberty or Akron to try to pull off an upset. But it didn't happen, and that's okay. Like, Michigan had to survive against UC San Diego.
Yes.
McNeese allows 13 points in the first half against Clemson. But then Clemson storms their way back, and a last-second bucket makes it a three-point or a two-point game. But they were down by four in the waning seconds all of a sudden, after only scoring 13 points in the first half.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping here in the 32 there's a lot more drama, a lot more madness to your March, mostly because that's where entertaining products come from in this sense. It is the drama. The one seeds, as Ryan hinted at last segment here, they took care of business. There was no real scare outside of near the end of the first half, Alabama State was putting a little bit of worry into Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
And Robert Morris put a scare into two-seed Alabama. But outside of that, the ones and the twos really didn't put much drama into this. There were no absolute goofs that happened this year.
No. It's very interesting to see, because I feel like normally there are some big goofs.
Yeah, even the three seeds were double-digit wins all across the board.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping, though, that we get a little bit more fun in this, and here I am talking about it. There's a 4-12 matchup coming up at 12-10, and it's the team. The four is the team I'm cheering for. So
yeah, well, that's the good side of the coin to be on if it stays trending this way, right? I mean,
on the other side, I get what I wanted, or I get what I said that I wanted, which is let's put some drama into this.
Yeah.
So I guess I can't lose.
Yeah, you can't. Well, yeah. So I guess you're correct on that. But
should I just print out my bracket and be able to crumple it up if that happens, just so that like I have that pleasure of crumpling it up?
Yeah, or you got to put it in like a manila envelope, like in Suits, and smack it down on a table. You know what I mean? Like, I got to
do something like just the physical form of crumpling it up.
Then you can walk over to somebody, either throw it at them or bank it into a garbage can and save the day a little bit.
That's the shame.
Or you miss the garbage can and then you're even in worse mental status from where you were. So, I mean, there are a lot of ways you can deal with that.
Because what do I do? What do I do in anger? I just close the window. Yeah.
Close the window. Like we have windows that can actually open at work. No.
No, I'm talking about like the tab.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
What do you do? You just say, close it angrily?
Fresh air. I'm like, it's raining. Like, what are you talking about? But I listen.
I was in the top 1.5 million heading into the night games, and my bracket cratered.
It fell out.
It's at. Yeah. I'm at 5 million now. But yeah, no, I'm not.
At 2.1 in the league I showed you the other day, where I had Clemson going deep into the Final Four.
I'm pretty sure those ranks are just across all users using the ESPN brackets.
Yes. Yeah. It's like out of all brackets.
Out of all brackets. Ranked. I'm in the 5.1 million here.
In the two ESPN ones I have, I'm 2.1 million and 91.5% with 260. So both of them evened out somehow.
Ready? You're hanging out with Dickie V. Dick Vitale's at a 2.1.
I guess so. I guess so. And then the CBS one, I don't know what's going on here. because that app's different. It doesn't show you that, but...
hey, we're beating Stephen A.
Yeah.
Stephen A's at 13 million.
You could use his picks as an auto pick thing.
No.
Did you see that?
Well, oh, God, really?
Yes.
No.
It allowed you to, when you were picking your bracket, you could use ESPN Analytics or use one of the analysts' picks. And I click it just to see who they're offering. And, yeah, Stephen A. Smith's at the top of the list. Fade that. Just look at that and fade it. Click on it and switch every pick. You might have been in good shape. Who knows?
No, ready? If you switched every pick, you'd be at 50%.
Because that's Stephen A's?
That's where Stephen A's percentage is.
Oh, wow. Okay.
He's splitting it down the middle.
You'd still be at 50.
Yeah. He's splitting it down the middle, baby.
Oh, my gosh.
Gotta love that, though.
Yeah. Gotta love how he's like, you know, I don't want to talk about LeBron James and Bronny, blah, blah, blah. And then he's continuing to do so, like on his podcast and stuff like that.
Yeah. But again,
gotta love it. Gotta love Stephen A. Smith. Worst part of the Creed franchise is involving him as the de facto sports commentator. Have you seen that?
I didn't realize that you were talking about like the movies.
Oh, you thought I meant like the band Creed?
Yes, I did initially.
Hmm. Trevor's not here, so well, he like, will be, but not yet.
I was like, wait, where was Stephen A. singing Creed?
No, I wish. That needs to happen now. I think we just spoke that into existence. That might have to be a thing.
No, boy.
Might have to get betting odds on Stephen A. Smith ever singing a Creed song. His podcast, he might. He talked about cars very enthusiastically.
Oh, no,
time.
Like, they've sent random questions. Like, people have sent random questions into him.
I think it's time we send a random
one was
question.
He picked a he had to pick a Pokemon starter between Charmander, Bulbasaur, and Squirtle.
Oh man, did he?
Yes.
And he knew what that was?
No. His team had to let him know what was going on.
We'll encrypt our voices and send in a message. Stephen A. Smith, can you
just
sing
tweet
a Creed
it.
Song?
You just got to tweet
oh,
it.
Oh, do
at
we?
Him. Yeah, just tweet
all
it.
Right, I'm doing it right now. All we're right. Gonna hold him accountable.
Have fun with that. Meanwhile, we go to the break. We come back. The Booty Cheek of the Week coming up next here. And, well, a lot has happened. So there's a lot that could be done with the targets. But we'll try to keep it simple here for you coming up next on WGR. This might be the most difficult version of this segment I've ever done.
It's the Booty Cheek of the Week.
I hate you so much. I have to be very careful.
Yeah, tread carefully. You're treading in shark-infested waters right now. That's all I gotta say.
I have to be very careful and pick the exact words that I need to. Precision is required for today's Booty Cheek of the Week.
Can I throw a regular one in real quick?
Yes.
Before we do this.
Yes, before I dive in head first here.
Yeah. I think, you know, if we're really going to look on the face of things, right, you could say Stephen A's bracket picks, maybe, right? You call yourselves a basketball guy. You can't even do that. But realistically, an NHL franchise that scores on itself, I think that is mine this week.
All right.
I'm sitting here thinking while we're doing the nightcap, I'm like, yeah, might have been a little harsh on them. I think they might have a good game tonight.
Then that happens.
It's like, yep. So
that is true. We walked out of here that night and I was saying, yeah, maybe a little too harsh on them there. And then they did that. They followed it up with that.
Yep. I don't think a learned to skate player makes that mistake.
Hang on, man. If you haven't scored on an empty net of your own, you haven't done anything.
Right. Come on, man. In the NHL?
Well, yeah, none of us are NHL players, so how would we know? But they're not the first team to do this. It's something that does happen.
It's just like, how much lower can we go? Rob Ray sounded like he was about to rip one off on the broadcast. You know what I'm talking about?
He sounded like he was going to rip his headset off.
I was producing the game, and I thought something was going to happen. You were hovering over that
dump button then. There you go.
Speaking of the dump button, be ready, Evan, just in case. So, the Oilers AA affiliate, the Chesapeake Bay Sox, for select home games this year, they will be the Chesapeake Oyster Catchers.
Hmm. What a name.
First of all, yeah. Minor League Baseball does this. They do this quite a bit. They have a couple weird names.
Jacksonville's Jumbo Shrimp.
Yes.
Like, that's a double-A team.
I will never forget. I did Extendo for the first time back when it was Howard and Jeremy's show. The first time I got to jump in and do Extendo, it was because the Binghamton Rumble Ponies was a name and logo that had been released.
The Binghamton Rumble Ponies.
Rumble Ponies, baby.
The Rumble Ponies.
Yeah.
We got to think about that. Like, that actually has some marketing potential. Oyster Catchers do not. No way.
Oh, you have just begun to touch the tip of the iceberg.
Oh, boy. Oh, God.
Because what... If I need to tell someone to search the logo for the Chesapeake Oyster Catchers, no, your computer is not going to get flagged. But is this logo a not suitable for work image? I don't know.
NSFW question mark?
Yeah. Like, if you were scrolling through Twitter and your boss walked by,
are you
getting in trouble?
I think questions would definitely be asked.
The fact that I have to ask that tells me there is a failure in the marketing or logo making department. Not enough people said no to this logo, and those people are the booty cheek of the week.
Is that organization wide that spans? Like, because someone has to, you know, yeah, they pitch the idea, but then there are different levels that probably goes through until it's inevitably passed through.
I mean,
and how did it get passed through is the question.
Yeah, I mean,
it should never have been. It should never have been.
We got Pat Malacaro helping out with, like, giving the Bisons an absolute fire reverse retro jersey.
Yes.
And here comes the Chesapeake Bay Sox with...
with
something that might get you in trouble with your boss.
Yes. Yes. I'm trying to figure out a way to...
That's the way to say it. If your boss walked by you and you were scrolling through Twitter and you found and you just came across this image, the first question is not, why are you on Twitter at work? That's the way to describe this logo. I found the right words. I had to make sure I found the right words. You have to be delicate with a situation like this.
Yes.
So
we need to act like we're talking to like a 2-year-old, like where we're trying to, you know.
You got to be careful.
What are we explaining here?
No.
Like, some of these slang terms that I was looking up to mention. Like, oh, man, they're worse than the actual thing.
Oh, like, boy. Yeah.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, this is... it's an interesting logo, to say the least.
I'm done.
Yep.
I lost it.
Joe's broken. Before anything regrettable happens, we're going to take a break and come back.